Okay, we're done with Christianity. I am going to just provide a short, brief wrap-up, and then we're going to jump into Islam for the next 2 weeks. So for the record, where that puts us, just a little bit of housekeeping up front. This week, next week, Islam. The week after that is Thanksgiving. We will not do anything that week of Thanksgiving, the 22nd through the 27th. That next week after Thanksgiving should be the final week where we talk about Baha'i, faith, love, peace, all the groovy things, and that should be it. So Islam is really the last big section. Regarding Christianity, I guess to sort of beat the same drum, but maybe at a different tempo or or a different cadence, maybe. The experience piece is very difficult. And as I'm reading this, I guess I have different thoughts, right? I've already said, you know, the experience piece relative to what John Wesley was going for in his quadrilateral. It's, you know, a specific Methodist thing for good Wesleyans and that sort of denomination. But it is useful, right? And it's not just about your personal experience. It is the experience of God, right? That is the piece that is also difficult here. There is scripture. There is, there is scripture, there is the tradition, and even if you have a denominational tradition, I still think you have to take seriously that tradition all the way back to Catholicism and then the early church. And then there's reason, what you can know and what you can't know. In Christianity, there's often sort of reference to what are the mysteries. And that can cut two ways, right? If you're a Christian, that's a beautiful notion that there are mysteries of life. If you are not Christian or atheist, it's kind of, well, it's lame. That just means you don't know something and you're like enjoying it. And I think that is a valid criticism. But when it comes to the experience, it is often the experience of those mysteries that we should talk about. A number of things that I read in the final wrap-up discussion, and it was well attended, if you want to put it that way, or it was very heavily engaged, and I really do appreciate that. So at the end of the day, I think you all carried on a very good conversation. I think what is very difficult is trying to think of experience beyond just the experience that you had at a church or at a church camp or with other Christians or within a denomination. That certainly counts. It's certainly valid, but it's also not the same as actually experiencing God and to know anything about God. You know, it doesn't have to be mystic. You know, there's mysticism in Judaism. You will find there's mysticism in Islam under the Sufi tradition. In Christianity, there are mystics. And it is the area we probably pay the least attention to. There's a broad group of people in the medieval period who were medieval mystics. There are still mystics around today, and it's a fascinating place to try to, you know, experience God. But I don't think that's even entirely what Wesley meant, right? To experience God is much more difficult and much more frustrating. And there's probably greater pains that must be taken to do that. So I'm always, you know, for my two cents, again, I'm Christian, but I struggle with that sort of brand identity because there's a number of Christians who I probably would not want to be associated with. And again, I think I've shared before, my background is, you know, I was borderline atheist in graduate school, certainly agnostic at that time. But the change to Christianity was not like a blowout. It was not a one and done. It was not a significant revelatory sort of thing. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. And as I share one of my favorite Nietzsche quotes that I believe Eugene Peterson picked up on, it's a long obedience in one direction. And I think sometimes that gets more at what it means to experience God. And it's always unfortunate when people's experiences of God is relayed through particular situations, particular places, particular people, because they're not always positive. They're often very negative, and that certainly colors and clouds and, you know, creates a lot of difficulty and misgiving even in judging God or experiencing God. So I'll give you the one little bit of advice, and then I'll lay the whole thing to rest. On, but I try to get you also to sort of think through some practices. That's why we do some of the visual stuff and some of the musical stuff and some of the prayer stuff and the meditation stuff. I the yoga, mostly they're fun, they're engaging. They are things that I do in my own way. But when it comes to this kind of practice, some of you may do this, and it's same thing. It's not going to be life-altering at all initially. But if you want to talk about experiencing God, you probably should journal. I keep two, to be honest with you. If you've had other classes with me, you've probably heard me say this, so if it's too repetitive, I apologize, but it is something that is true. I have a gratitude journal in the morning to kind of get my head right for the day. That makes a difference. You can actually even find that in the cognitive science, it's extremely important for your brain. So there's studies behind that. And the one that I do at night, it's a variation. I've kind of changed that a couple of times. The evening journal is often sort of a mix of, to be quite honest, it's a bit of a blend of rational, cognitive, emotional behavior therapy and St. Ignatius prayer of examine. But the trick to that is you often try to find out what went right during the day, what went haywire, why did it go haywire, what's going on, what was your reaction, what was your response. And in a number of these journals, when I, you know, tell students that I advise that maybe this is something they should take on as a mentoring lesson, there are threads. And the problem is you're not going to see that thread in the first day, the first week, the first month, maybe in a year of doing these journals, you see a thread of things that go really well and things that go really wrong. And you might understand why some situations are much healthier for you than others. And in some weird cases, you see maybe it's an experience that, oh, this is, right? It becomes more serious when people say, oh, I think this is the path God intended. It's not a guess, right? It's not a silly leap of faith, which is, you know, the sort of misquote of Kierkegaard. It's a step into faith. It is to do this based on actual experience. And you've recorded in detail, oh, these are the things that are healthy. These are the things that are good for me relative to these are the things that often cause conflict, strife, stress, and all of the other things. And there in that, you may sort of find the hand of God. And in there and in that, you may have an experience of God. You will find your gratitude for simple things will certainly increase with the morning journal, and you realize it takes much less to keep you content and to keep you happy, which is always a good thing. So that's my two cents. If you're an agnostic, if you're an atheist, if you're a different religion or religious persuasion or denomination, that is very cool. That is fine. And I would still tell you without any hesitation, journal. You will always get some benefit out of that practice. So with that, we are done with Christianity. We move on to Islam.